KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Chris Fiorentino, and I am not your host for today's show. I am actually switching chairs. I'm going to be in the guest chair, and I'm very happy to welcome Jackie Ryle, who is a new guest host here on Fresno State Service in Action. Jackie, all yours.
What a pleasure it is, Chris. I love being in this chair. We've talked in opposite chairs before, so this is very nice.
That's right. We have, haven't we?
I'm so pleased that you and Jocelyn Bowe are here this morning to talk about the Jan and Bud Richter Center, enjoying and celebrating its 10-year anniversary. So, Chris, if you would, talk a little bit about your role, what you do with the Jan and Bud Richter Center.
Boy, we've done about 40 of these shows, and I don't think I've ever really talked about that. I am the director of the Jan and Bud Richter Center here at Fresno State, and I've been here going on 25 years. My role is herding cats. It's to be a champion of service and the service culture at Fresno State, to work with faculty, work with students, work with staff, work with our community partners. I have a fantastic staff that I get to work with, and together as a team, along with our student leaders, you know, we just try to continue to infuse, facilitate, and promote service in any way we can, and meaningful service, service that's meaningful for our students, that it's going to make a difference for them personally, professionally, academically, and meaningful for our community, that it's going to make a positive difference for all of us.
I know you've talked about this before here, but I think it would be good just a little talk about the center and its history and getting to the 10-year mark.
Yeah. So the university has had a service program by one name or another for about 25, 28 years. And in 2006, President Welty approached Jan and Bud Richter about endowing a center for community engagement and service learning. And for a number of reasons, the Richters didn't want to attach their name to the center. They are very generous and don't want to take the spotlight, but President Welty convinced them that it was the best thing to do. So on November 13th, 2007, the Chancellor's Office officially approved the naming of the Jan and Bud Richter Center for Community Engagement and Service Learning, and it is the only named Center for Community Engagement and Service Learning in the CSU system, the largest public education system in the U.S., and it is one of the only named centers in the entire United States for service and service learning. So we are certainly very thankful to Jan and Bud for their generosity, and we mark that 2007 date as a really important date because it puts us alone in a lot of ways for higher education institutions and the commitment that Fresno State has to service.
So you're actually coordinating a lot of moving parts. You're working with faculty and students and the community. How might that work in terms of working with a member of the community or a community agency, a community partner?
Yeah. There's about 40 distinct what we call service initiatives on this campus. And some of them, like service learning, there's 200 service learning classes. So it looks a little different for every single one of them. But let's say, for example, I'm a professor, I teach a biology class, and instead of just having my students learn in the classroom and practice in a laboratory setting, I'm going to engage my students in something out in the community that's going to make a difference. So maybe we go do water testing along the San Joaquin River and assess the quality of the water and where there are negative impacts in the water, pollution, you know, low oxygen concentrations or whatever else, that we're trying to find out what is happening there in the river and how can we make the river more healthy. So we're studying, say, aquatic ecology in the classroom, and we're applying that in a service setting that's going to benefit our community in some way. Similarly, if I'm an education major and I'm learning about literacy, I'm going to go out and I'm going to be involved in teaching a child to read and understanding what does it mean to work with a student who is English as a second language learner, or coming from a background where, you know, we don't have books in my home, or there's 30 kids in the classroom and the teacher doesn't have time to work one-on-one with us. And so I, as a student who is in that class, am going to learn about literacy and teaching and about child development and about all these other issues that I'm going to use when I graduate as a teacher.
Jocelyn, As a participating student, what has been your opportunity? Where have you connected out in the community?
Personally, I've really enjoyed working with certain organizations on campus. And honestly, one of my favorite things is when we actually get to interact with students. For me, as an ambassador, getting to talk to students about what service actually means to them and how they've learned from it. I was actually on the committee with the ambassadors last year that was focused on service learning outreach to certain departments on campus that might not necessarily have those service learning oriented courses, which have the S designation. And basically what my committee was trying to do is trying to incorporate more of those classes into certain departments. And for me, this was a personal vendetta because I'm actually in the biology department. I'm a biology major, and the biology department has very few S designated courses, where this might be an incredibly applicable learning tool, especially given the example that Chris gave with examining water in the area, aquatic ecology. These are all incredibly applicable to my major, and just thinking about how that might be applicable in other departments as well. I would really, really love to see that grow.
Wonderful example of the symbiotic nature of how this begins and then how it grows. And so you're probably into all areas. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, there are service learning classes in every single one of the schools and colleges in well over half of the academic departments in the university. You know, certainly some departments and some disciplines, it's easier, you know, it fits better, but across the board. And it's not just service learning. It's also the community engagement, community service, volunteering kinds of things. So whether it's students involved in blood drives or kids day or one day service projects, or, you know, they're part of a scholarship program that requires them to be involved in service, or internship programs where they're doing their internship with a community benefit organization or a nonprofit, then those are all great opportunities for our students to serve and learn in the community.
And of course, really significant to this is the effect that it has with students and with the student involvement and the student perspective. So I'd like to ask Jocelyn to talk a little bit about her experience and what it means to the student from the student perspective.
My role at the Richter Center is I'm a student ambassador. I'm one of the student leaders. At the Richter Center, we have four distinct student leadership teams. The ambassadors was the originally designed one, the first one to be created in the Richter Center. We also have reflection facilitators, the serve committee, coaches, and each team has a different capacity. And this is my second year in the ambassador team. And I love it. I get to see Chris every week, which is always really fun. He always walks in with a smile on his face. So I've been incredibly blessed to be part of what we all call our Richter Center family there. And it truly does foster that sense of closeness and a sense of service leadership with one another and teaching us all how to approach service with that goal in mind. But I can't say enough how much I love this program.
So Chris, let me ask you, how many students have been involved over the years and how many students are involved now in the center's work?
So the Richter Center Student Leaders Program has currently 34 students between those four different programs that Jocelyn just mentioned. But there are 14 or 15,000 students that are involved every year in some kind of university organized or affiliated service project. So whether that be a service learning class or a one-day service project, or they're involved in something with their university club or organization, we have a number of our students that are involved in service. So it really is a majority of our student population is involved in something every single year. And that's not to mention, and doesn't include, their own service stuff, that some student is involved through their own church or their family, or they've been involved with an organization and they're just continuing to do that all on their own. So we know that a majority of our students are committed to service and involved in one way or another.
And this is really in line with the university's value, which is one of community service.
Yeah.
All that you do is in line with that. Yeah. And really plays it out.
Fresno State's one of the first universities in the nation to receive a special designation from the Carnegie Foundation. So when you talk about universities being, are they a research university? Are they a liberal studies university? Fresno State is an engaged university. That is a special distinction that the Carnegie Foundation can grant to a university. We had to do an extensive application for that. But as an engaged university, it means that we're committed to aligning our teaching, our service, and our research with the needs of the community in one way or another. And I think there's a culture of service at Fresno State that is as great, if not greater, than just about any other institution in the nation. Very much an institution where place matters. We are part of the Fresno community, and we respond to that in a way that says, we know this is an important place. We know we have a place of privilege and honor in this great community, and we need to respond to that by the things that we engage our students in.
So Jocelyn, from the perspective of an engaged student, what's that like? What does that mean to you and you think to your colleagues, students, friends, and others that are involved? What does this mean to you?
I would say that a lot of the student engagement that we do see on campus is largely out to develop personal growth. I know that from my own engagement, I've had a lot of personal development from that, and I just generally feel more connected to the campus, largely through the Richter Center, the fact that I've been able to do so much service through this organization and alongside many of my fellow students and peers, just to foster a greater degree of kindness on campus and in our community. And for my own benefit, as an ambassador, I've also had a great degree of student empowerment, which I can't say enough about. Because I actually feel like I'm able to influence this campus in a really meaningful way. Like just last year, I was able to work on the Service Learning Showcase. This year, we're actually trying to put together a conference. And the fact that I'm able to do that with just one or two other students together is mind-blowing to me. I never thought that I'd be able to come to a college campus and put together a conference, for crying out loud. It's amazing to me.
So how do you see this, Jocelyn, as a part of the foundation that you're building for your future, being engaged in this program and these activities?
Oh, wow. I would say, first of all, service, again, is such a great means for learning. We can learn so much about ourselves, about our community, and about others by doing this, and even just constructive learning in the sense of learning a new skill, like doing Habitat for Humanity, for example, learning how to build a house. I mean, I would never have learned how to do that otherwise. And the more skills you have, the better you can approach life, is my thought process. Mm-hmm. Personally, I'm hoping to become a PA someday, and I really hope that I can eventually use some of my skills that I've developed in relating to people and just understanding where they're coming from. And honestly, I feel like being a physician's assistant, a PA, is largely focused on serving others, serving my patients. And that's the pursuit I want to come at it with.
I think Jocelyn is an exceptional example of this, but it's true for so many of our students. They come to campus already with a heart for giving. They understand that, you know, the community is a place of need for so many. And they're willing to give back. I think in a lot of cases, though, they don't know how and they don't know when and where. And for a lot of campuses, I think that that is pushed to the side. So you're a student at XYZ University and you want to go be involved in service. Fine, that's on your time. But at Fresno State, we say to people like Jocelyn, no, we want you to do that as part of your educational experience here. And she mentions being empowered by that and feeling connected with the university. That's what we found, that when students are engaged in service, they feel more a part of this campus community. They're more likely to remain a student, to not drop out. They're more likely to graduate, therefore. And they're more likely to feel like they have a place and a role of importance in this larger community, that Fresno becomes, even if they're not from Fresno originally, that Fresno and the Valley become someplace special to them, and they understand that they have a special place in this community.
So Jocelyn, as an ambassador, what's kind of the core message that you take out there, and what kind of response do you get back?
There's a really broad spectrum, actually, I could cover with that. Just in the sense that my primary purpose as an ambassador is to go out and talk to students about service, just essentially trying to change the way that a lot of us tend to think about it. Because, you know, service does tend to have that fear of like, oh, is it going to be too much work? Or like, what am I getting out of this kind of thing? Or like, what purpose does this serve other than maybe helping somebody out for a brief period of time? But we also want to go in there and talk to these people in a meaningful way to show them that service, for one, you can learn from it. And it can be such a great experience in the sense that you're connecting to the community around you. You're connecting to fellow students and doing all of this service in such a way that you might be developing towards your career. For example, Chris mentioned teaching students, tutoring. We have programs like Jumpstart or Reading and Beyond, which are really wonderful for students that are maybe looking at teaching. They can go out and learn how to do that in an effective way while affecting the community around them. It's just this wonderful, like, two birds, one stone kind of thing. And for me as an ambassador, getting to go out and talk to people and connecting them to those service opportunities where they are feeling like they are actually making the most impact and learning from their experiences, that's when you really see growth in the volunteer, but also in the community around them.
And so the response when you're out there being an ambassador, what are the types of responses you typically get?
Oh,
or is there a typical?
You know, when you're tabling, sometimes people do a little bit of a swerve. But I mean, oftentimes, like once you get the conversation going, a lot of times, like For instance, we have this thing called RAC Week or Random Acts of Kindness Week, which we actually try and encourage the smaller acts of service, which is kind of changing the mentality of what service actually is. For example, we started handing out lollipops this week, and what we were telling the students to do is we gave them a lollipop and, you know, you enjoy this, but then we would give them a second one and say, give this to someone else, just as a small act of kindness, a small act of service. And I really love seeing the impact that that can have on some of the students. The reactions we get are just fantastic sometimes. You know, people are so excited to go out and make somebody else's day better. And I think that's really like where you can see it, especially on campus. You just get this slight movement of just like smiles all the way. And I love it.
There's clearly a depth here. There's a real depth on the campus. There's also a real scope out into the community. How have you or how do you connect with the agencies that you are connected with? You've mentioned a number of really significant community benefit nonprofit agencies. How do you form those relationships? And are you open to additional ones if they want to have relationships with the center and with your work?
You know, with all of those different initiatives that we talked about, I think that that relationship is different in many cases. So we do blood drives here on campus. Well, we've got this ongoing relationship with the Central California Blood Center. And we hold these drives, and it's very simple and straightforward. In other cases, students are out developing these relationships. They are studying a certain area. They have an opportunity to do an internship. They know of an agency out in the community, and they go out and they create this linkage.
So the student might make the initial contact.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We also have one of our fantastic Richter Center staff members, Tricia Stute, is our community partnerships coordinator. Trish is our matchmaker. So she is out trying to connect the needs of our community partners, the community benefit agencies or nonprofits, with the resources that exist here on campus. So an agency may say, hey, we need tutors. And Trish is able to link them back with clubs, with organizations, with individual students, and or with faculty members who have resources that are going to benefit that agency. And similarly, a faculty member may come to our office and say, I've got this class. I'm a criminology faculty member and I do victimology and I want to initiate a service learning component in my class where the students can take what they're learning in the classroom and apply it out in the community. And I need partners. So then we'll go into our little list of agencies and go through resources and say, hey, here's four or five agencies that do victim services. And, you know, we can help you connect with those and go from there. So it really, it does. It can come from the student. It can come from the faculty member. It can come from the community agency, or it can come from our office in terms of creating those linkages and those marriages, if you will.
So in addition to this program, which is a wonderful way to get the word out, what else do you do to get the word out to the community of the availability of these services and this program?
Well, we do two big community service opportunities fairs every year, once in the fall, once in the spring. We invite about 60 to 70 agencies to campus, or we host 60 to 70 agencies, and they can share information with our students and link with them that way, and our faculty and our staff. We do events for faculty and staff to learn about the opportunities that exist for them to integrate service into their classes and their programs. And when we do that, we talk about community need and how those needs might align with the different kinds of outcomes that they're looking to generate through their courses or their programs. When we talk with students, Jocelyn and the ambassadors do this a lot. You know, what do you as a student care about? What's something that concerns you? Oh, you have a family member that has cancer. You know, boy, do you know about this Camp Kesem program that is at the university? Or what about getting involved with the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure? Or any number of things in our community that provide an opportunity for students to really get engaged in something that they care about, that's important to them.
So that leads me to ask you, what about maybe a quick overview of some of your existing and ongoing programs like Camp Kesem? Just a quick overview of those.
You know, when we were getting ready for our 10th anniversary, we stopped and we took scope of some of the things that have been going on over the last 10 years, and we developed 10 highlights over the last 10 years. For example, the Richter Center Student Leaders Program that Jocelyn talked about, it started in 2008, so 1 year after the center was named. Melissa Jessen-Heiser, our assistant director, started the ambassadors program with 9 students. One program, 9 students. Now there are 4 programs, 34 student leaders. Over the last several years, those student leaders alone have done over 26,000 hours of service. And that doesn't include the multipliers of each of those students have engaged others in service. And that then, you know, makes that 26,000 hours probably more like, you know, 2.6 million hours.
Right.
And people say, oh yeah, 2.6 million hours. Well, our students are doing over a million hours of service every year. Another program that we highlighted when we did our 10-year anniversary event was our one-day service projects. Jocelyn's been involved in some of these. We do 3 one-day service projects every year. They're on Saturdays. We do a Make a Difference Day in October, Serving Fresno Day in November, and a Spring into Service in March or April. And each one of those events, we work with 4 different community partners, engage 100 to 130 or 40 students in one day of service. And we also do Kids Day and the blood drives and other ways of engaging students in single days of service. We've got a couple of great sponsors, things like our Friends for Civic Engagement program. Rich and Dwayne Barrett, just fantastic people, have provided funding for about $65,000 worth of grants to help students deliver the kinds of services that they want to deliver. So students who might want to go internationally and do an international service project as part of a course, Rich and Dwayne are able to fund a little bit, a small portion of the cost of doing that. Or alternative spring breaks that we've done for the last 9 years, student-run projects over spring break. And instead of going to, you know, Cancun or to Hawaii or to Daytona Beach, Florida, our students are spending the week doing service projects here in our community. Mm-hmm. So Rich and Dwayne and Friends for Civic Engagement have provided lots of funding. So those are just a few, and I've got many others we can talk about as well. But, you know, there's just so many examples of how our students, our faculty, our staff, our community partners are responding to this call to service in so many wonderful ways.
I'd love to hear just a couple of comments from you, Jocelyn, about hearing about these programs that you're involved with and others are involved with in terms of that value add back to the community as well as to you as students.
One example I can come up with right off the top of my head would be the one-day service events. I've gone to those several times. For instance, I volunteered at one location we had at, I believe it was Make a Difference Day last year, was the Ronald McDonald House, which is over at Valley Children's Hospital, which is just a fantastic experience. Essentially, what Ronald McDonald House does is they provide housing for families with a child currently getting cared for at Valley Children's, which is just a fantastic program. I've actually had a friend whose family was cared for by a Ronald McDonald House program. So what we did was we were working on a garden for them, and we had, you know, a larger number of students there, given that usually with one-day service events, we have like around 100 students at all these different sites and everything. And what I love about it is that because you have a larger group of students working on one project together, they really get to see the outcome of what their work does, which is always a really, really wonderful outcome for them. They get to actually see the work of their hands. And again, with things like RAC Week, which I mentioned earlier, or again, another ambassador campaign we have is National Volunteer Week. Those are all different programs that the ambassadors do specifically to try and engage more students on campus with the idea of service or just celebrating the fact that they do serve in the first place, which is just phenomenal. And I love that we have a campus that actually focuses on celebrating the work that our students do, as well as the academic prowess that all of them exhibit, which is phenomenal, which I'm so grateful for.
I was so interested to hear that your ambassadorship is not just on the campus, but it goes beyond the campus, and that sometimes you're the ones that identify an agency that can use some value add from this program.
Absolutely. One part of our weekly meetings is we have these wonderful things called one person fulfills the role of an investigator. And every week we come up with a different event or a different partner that we can all go to do maybe like a small service act. Like I was the investigator, I think 2 weeks ago, and I figured out that you can volunteer at the library in the area. And I love books, so I was geeking out over that. So the fact that that's constantly something we're trying to reevaluate and constantly trying to come up with new locations for students to go volunteer at where they're actually going to feel the connection and really enjoy what they're doing and learn from it.
So to both of you, this message is amazing. And I know about the program for some time, and I've learned huge amounts just hearing you in this short period of time. Do you take the show on the road? There's organizations everywhere that need speakers and programs. Do you do that? Both students and Chris and your staff, do you do that?
Oh, yeah. Over the years, spoke at a number of Rotary and Kiwanis meetings. You know, we've done presentations. We, the campus community in one way or another, whether it be students or anybody else, have done presentations at schools and board meetings, city council meetings. So we try to get the message out wherever we can. And it's not because we're, oh, look at the Richter Center, we're so great. No, it's look at our students. Look at people like Jocelyn and the thousands of other students who are saying, you know, I'm not going to just go to class go home and study and live in my own little world and party on Friday and Saturday night. No, I'm going to get up on Saturday morning at 7 o'clock and I'm going to go to Bulldog Pantry and I'm going to give out food to individuals who are food insecure. You know, I work at a great place and I work with fantastic students, fantastic staff and faculty members and community partners. And I think a lot of times it's easy to see the bad things in our community. Right. I mean, the press covers bad stuff. That's what sells papers. Right.
If it bleeds, it leads. Yeah,
exactly.
It,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And what doesn't get covered enough is the wonderful things that are going on in this community because of volunteers.
And if I may, the fact still remains that 50 to 60% of the population in certain communities within the Central Valley alone are impoverished.
Yes.
You have to look at those statistics and recognize that they are a reality. I love the fact that this is actually a program that focuses on utilizing the passion that college students have, because the fact remains, I'm at the point in my life where I am like really wanting to do something with my life. I'm passionate about my future, and the fact that I can go out into the community and actually see a real implication of what I'm doing. I love the fact that it's so empowering in that sense. And the conference I mentioned earlier, my committee's on it. I'm gonna make it happen. I really want this thing to happen. Because just imagine like what we've done at one CSU campus. Think about what we could do with all of them connected. Yeah. That's just mind-blowing. You could change an entire state.
Oh, the world. Seriously.
Hey, why limit?
I mean, here's what we know. What we know is research bears out that when you start volunteering and doing community service at a younger age, that's a lifelong endeavor. We know that. And what the center does is it creates the venue, it creates the opportunity, it creates the structure for this to happen, for young people to have an opportunity and then to continue to do that and grow in that and make those connections.
Right.
And often the thing that's the most counterintuitive about all of this is for those of us that are like maybe a little bit stressed out about school, oftentimes volunteering is the most de-stressing experience that I can have. I mean, it gives you this incredible perspective on the rest of the world, just thinking about, okay, first of all, my physics test that I had earlier today is not the end of the world. It's not the most important thing in the world. It is important to me. But in the overall scheme of things, like I can go out and help somebody else right now.
Jocelyn, thank you. Of all the important messages and information that have been shared here this morning, that was the most profound, that in fact, serving others and volunteering and working with service is a de-stressor. In this world of today, that's so important. So, Chris, how can they get a hold of you if they want you to come and give a speech?
Well, if they want me to give a speech, I feel bad for them, but I'm happy to do that. But more importantly, if they want to get involved or learn more about our program at all, they can contact the Richter Center at 559-278-7079, or they can just Google Richter Center at Fresno State. Richter, just like the earthquake measure, R-I-C-H-T-E-R, Richter Center at Fresno State. And, you know, we're happy to talk to anybody about our program. We're very proud of it. And, you know, we're proud of the fact that in 10 years since the Richter Center was formed, we've done over 11 million hours of service. And I think that we throw out millions and billions and trillions. Those numbers seem to not mean anything anymore, but that's a lot. And our students are just so generous with their time and their talent.
It means a lot. And that name is really appropriate because you really are shaking things up. I want to say thanks again to Jocelyn Bowe and the usual host, Chris Fiorentino, for being the guest today. Thanks for joining us this morning. And please join us again next Sunday morning at 11 for another Fresno State Service in Action on KFSR. Like us on Facebook at FS Service in Action. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org. Thanks and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.